Take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to Philippians chapter 1. We'll be beginning our study in Philippians here this morning. So why are you here this morning? Why are you here? Why this church on this morning? Why are you here? 2 years ago, while I was still the youth pastor, I preached a sermon from this passage. Now, I'll assure you it wasn't this sermon, but it was a sermon from this passage. We had just spent some time discovering who we were as a church and who we wanted to be as a church moving forward, and we started a series on what that looked like for our church, and this passage was the passage I preached on as we began that series. We said that as a church, we wanted to be a Christ-centered, biblically sound church. We wanted to make sure that's who we were, that we were a praying church, that we are a church that provides ministry that reaches entire families, that we were going to be a church that trained leaders and provided ministry opportunities for those that were part of our church. We were going to be a church that was outreach-minded, and we were going to be a church that was locally and globally mission-minded. Those were the six things that we said we wanted to be as a church. As I preached that sermon here 2 years ago, little did I know that 3 months after preaching that sermon that I would become the pastor of this great church. Paul wrote this letter to Philippians, to the church of Philippi. This was a church that he had planted in Acts chapter 16. We see Paul traveling here to Philippi on his second missionary journey. It was here that he was beaten and thrown in jail. It was here that he experienced some triumphs in ministry. And so he writes this very personal letter to perhaps his favorite church. As we look at Philippians, I want to say I love our church. I love our church. Why am I here? Because I believe this is where God wants me to believe, be, and I believe that God has a plan for me and a plan for our church and a plan for our church as it reaches into our community. And God wants me to be a part of what He is doing here. We are on a journey together, and God has not finished yet. I hope that you are here this morning because you believe in the mission of the church. Not necessarily just the mission of Boyd Avenue, but the mission of the church. When Jesus ascended into heaven, Jesus began the church, and the church was His chosen instrument to reach the world. And so do you believe in the mission of the church? Do you want to join together with us, with Boyd Avenue, as a local church to do what God would have us to do to reach our community? Paul's desire for the Philippian church was that it would stay on track and be the church that God intended it to be. He was thankful for the financial support of the church. He was thankful for their strong ministry, and he had confidence that that was going to continue into the future. But he gave some warnings, and we're going to look through these as we study Philippians. He warned them against pride, and he encouraged them to continue to be the good church, pressing forward, focusing on the goal of the things that God had called them to be. So as we begin this morning, let's take a moment, and let's heed to the encouragement as we study Philippians together over the next several weeks, beginning today with the first 11 verses of chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy and my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. As Paul writes this letter, you notice he's thankful for the whole church. In the first verse here, he says, to the saints and the overseers and the deacons. as he writes this letter to the church, he is writing it to the entire church, to all who make up the church. This letter wasn't just written to the pastors, and it wasn't just written to the deacons. It wasn't just written to those in leadership. It wasn't the leadership team. I have no idea what the leadership team may have looked like at the church of Philippi, but it wasn't just written to them. It was written to all who made up the church, to all of the saints. See, as Paul writes, as he understands that we are the church. And we're going to use that word a lot, we. This is about we. This is us. All of us. We are the church. And as we look at this passage and we look how it applies to us, look around. Look around at the people that we worship with. We are Boyd Avenue Baptist Church. This is us. The people that make up our congregation are the ones that are responsible for carrying out the ministry that God has led us to. This is us. We do this together. This is something that is not about an individual. It's not just about leaders. It's about every one of us. We do this. And we need to be thankful and appreciate each other and the people that minister with us. Paul says in verse 2, uses these words, grace and peace. We experience peace with God only because of the tremendous grace that he extends to us. We could not have peace with God if it wasn't for the fact that God extended this grace. And as we grow together, as we minister together, as we strive to be who God would have us to be, we need to extend this same grace to each other. There are times that we're going to displease God. There are times that we're going to mess up. There are times that we're going to fall into sin. And God extends his grace to us. And we have peace with him. As we minister together, as we serve together, as we are a church together, there are going to be times that we may hurt each other. There are times that we may do things wrong. There are times that part of our congregation will fall into sin. And we need to extend the grace that God has extended to us, to each other. And how do we do that? How do we make sure that we continue to extend this grace? Well, Paul is his attitude of thankfulness and prayer that he offers. He says that my thankfulness to people of Philippi caused them to pray for them with joy. When he thought of the church of Philippi, it brought him joy. And this joy enables him to serve together. And this joy enabled him to not get caught up in his own struggles and not the negative things around him, but it caused him to extend that grace as he prayed for them with joy. See, as Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians, he is in jail. He is writing it from Rome. He's under house arrest. He's waiting to see Caesar. His future was unclear. Paul, when he writes this, he has no idea what his future is like. And so he writes this letter to a place, not just a place where he had some good experiences, but he writes this letter to a place where he was also beaten and thrown and spent some time in a jail cell. And it would have been easy for Paul to have been bitter. It would have been easy for Paul to complain, to use his opportunities to condemn. Instead, he writes a letter of encouragement and grace. We can all find things to complain about. I could go to my office right now and I could come with a long list of things to complain about. I often say that I would complain, but nobody really listens if you do anyway. But we could find those things, right? I could find things to be unhappy about. I could find things about our church to be unhappy about. I can find things about you to be unhappy about. You could probably find things about me. We can complain all we want to, but it's really hard to be bitter and to complain about people that you pray for. And Paul lifted up the people of Philippi, lifted up the Philippians in prayer with joy in his heart. And it was this attitude that enabled Paul, enabled the Philippians to serve together. Attitude of joy. See, Paul had this joy because he had a relationship with the people of Philippi. Paul had this joy because he had a love for Jesus. Paul had this joy because he was serving and writing to a church, knowing that they also shared his love for Jesus. Paul had joy because he looked at this church and he saw their ministries. He had joy because when you look back at Philippi and his experience there, it wasn't the time in jail that he remembered the most. It's what God did through that. You see, if you see Paul's life when he was here in Philippines, if you read in Acts chapter 16, he goes there and he finds this place where women are praying and he spends some time with them and he meets this lady whose name is Lydia. And Lydia opens up her heart and she receives Jesus Christ as her Savior. And Lydia has this conversion experience and she opens up her home. And they end up having a group of believers begins to meet in her home. And as Paul leaves that area in Acts 16, he says he goes back and he meets with the believers that are meeting in her home. It brought him joy. When he was in that jail cell, when he was there and he was thrown in jail, instead of complaining, him and Silas break into a time of worship. And they began to sing praises to their God. And if you know the story, the jail cell's open. And the jailer, concerned that he's losing his prisoners, is going to commit suicide. And Paul says, wait. And Paul witnesses this man. And he opens up his heart and he gives his life to Jesus. And this jailer and all of his family come to know Christ. See, even though things weren't always perfect, even though things were sometimes difficult, there was joy in Paul's heart. And this church of Philippi that he spent that time in became a valuable partner in the gospel with him. See, if we're going to train and empower people to do ministry, if we're going to do that, if we're going to be an outreach-minded church, if we're going to be a church that truly cares about our community, and we're going to be locally mission-minded, if we care about our world and we want to be globally mission-minded, if we're going to meet the ministries of the people around us, then we have to do this together. It has to be we, or it will never get done. Now, I like to watch sports. I'm a sports junkie. I love watching sports. But if I'm sitting on my couch watching sports, I'm not participating. I am just watching. And if I'm watching sports and it's on TV, I don't get to say we. It's them doing stuff. I'm just watching. I have never won an NBA title in my entire life. Now, a couple years ago, I was in Canada on a mission trip teaching little Chinese kids how to play basketball. And one of these little girls walks up to me at dinner time and she says, Ed, did you used to play in the NBA? And I said, no, I didn't. She says, well, my mom insists anybody as good as you had to have played in the NBA. True story. I assured her that I didn't. The next day at the camp, she comes up to me and she says, well, you at least coached in the NBA, because my mom says if you didn't play, you had to have been a coach. I've never played in the NBA. I've never won an NBA championship. I've never won a World Series title. I've never won a Super Bowl. The teams that I cheer for have done these things, but it wasn't we. It was them. Now, I joke often that I don't mind hard work. In fact, I love hard work. I can sit and watch hard work for hours and hours and hours, and I thoroughly enjoy it. See, are we watching or are we participating in the ministry of the church? Is it something we see other people doing, or are we the ones that are doing it? Paul writes and he says, in view of your participation in the gospel. A few years ago, my daughters were involved in a musical production at Kelly Walsh. And there were several students that acted in the musical, and they participated. Some of these students worked on the set, and they participated. Some students did stage management and sound and lighting, and they were participating. Students played music in the pit, and they were participating. There were those that worked on costumes and makeup and taught dance and voice, and those people were participated. There were some that provided food for the students during the performance week, and those people participated. There were some that gave intentionally to finance the performance. They participated. There are probably many other things that happened that people did that I have missed, and many people participated in that. Then there were those of us that bought a ticket and sat in a chair and watched. I didn't participate. I observed what everybody else did to make that production happen. I reaped the benefit of all the work that went into that production. See, we are a part of this together. Let's find our place as we minister together and as we serve together. Let's find our place. This Church of Philippi, they ministered to Paul. They ministered to each other. They ministered to their community. And they should be an example to us as we grow in Christ. Let's look at verses 6 through 8 together. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart. Since both in my imprisonment and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Individually, God has a plan for us. God has a plan for you, and that plan for you, it begins at salvation. We cannot know God's plan for our life. We cannot know God's purpose for our life if we do not know Him. We cannot know Him if we don't accept His terms of salvation. If we've not come to a point in our life where we recognize that we're a sinner in need of a Savior, then if we don't do that, we will always be on the sidelines. You will never know your purpose. It begins with a relationship. And today, make sure today that you have that relationship with Jesus. And that plan comes to an end. It becomes perfected when someday we stand before Him in eternity. Someday, we're going to stand before our Savior. Someday, those of us that are believers are going to stand and we're going to be in heaven with Him. And in between, the moment of salvation and the time we stand before Him, God has a purpose for our life. He has something He's working out for us. He has a plan for us individually. God has a plan for you. As a church, God has a plan for us, and we need to continue to strive for what God may have for us, always looking forward. Verse 7 says, calls them partakers of grace with Him. Paul could do what God called him to do because the church of Philippi was doing what God had called it to do, and they were working alongside together. See, we have a lot of ministries in our church. We have a lot of things that we do. We have a nursery, and we have children's ministries and youth ministries and men's ministries, women's ministries, outreach, singles. We have Wednesday night stuff going on here. We have people preparing meals, and we have SWAT in our children's ministry, and we have V groups to meet throughout the week, and Sunday school, and we have people that help do meals for funerals, and helping people in need, vacation Bible school, and so, so many more. We have ministries that we do in our community. We help with the rescue mission and True Care, and we have church plants, and we've done Easter egg hunts and back to school bashes, and again, so many more. And we have ministered in places around our state and our nation and our world as we serve in places like Midwest, 45 minutes north of here, and Dallas and Calgary and down in Haiti. And as we do these ministries together, as we serve in these places, it has to be we or nothing gets done. It has to be we. We need to discover God's purpose for us as we serve. I have to know my part. What does God have for me as we serve? You need to know your part. What does God have for you as we serve together, as we do this together? See, we can have all kinds of activities, and we don't want to do stuff just to be busy. Anybody else busy? Anybody else do this? You look at your calendar and say, I've got four things at 4 o'clock on Tuesday. How am I supposed to do all those? Because we can fill our calendars. We don't want to just fill calendars with stuff. We do ministry because we believe in a gospel that the world needs to hear. We believe in that. And we do this together because I believe, our church believes, that God has a purpose for you to participate in that together with us. We do this together. Maybe as you're sitting here and you're looking at all the things, you say, I want to serve, but I'm not so sure I fit into any of those things. Well, I've got good news for you. We'll start something new. If God has laid something on your heart, it's our job to help you to do what God has called you to do as we are motivated together by love. Do we care for each other? Do we do all this because we love Jesus? We do all this because we love each other and we love those around us. We love our world. That is what motivates us. It's this love that we have that motivates us to ask, what do we do? What can we do? Who else needs minister to? What are we missing? What is my part as we love each other? And we need to encourage each other as we continue this ministry together. Let's look at verses 9 through 11. And this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. We live in such a way that the world will see Jesus through us. Our church should truly point people to Jesus. And our church will point people to Jesus if we, those that are here point people to Jesus. The church cannot be something that our members are not. We need to point people to Jesus. We teach the Bible. And we spend time in God's Word because we believe that this is the foundation for what we do. We believe this is how we find God's plan. This is what we believe. This is how we know who God is through His Word. We study God's Word together. We believe in the importance of His Word. We, as a church, we're built on the foundations that are taught in His Word. This is the only source for real knowledge comes from God's Word. And so we each one of us, we need to be committed to growing spiritually. I, as your pastor, need to be committed to growing spiritually. It doesn't make any difference how long I've been a Christian. It doesn't make any difference how long I've been in ministry. I need to be committed to continuing to grow and to further my relationship with God. And you need to do the same thing. And we do this together. So we encourage each other. We encourage each other not to become stagnant, but to strive in our relationship with Jesus. Then we can show the world what a relationship with Jesus looks like. We can show a world that has a love that is more than just feelings. More than just feelings, but a love that is knowledge. We can show our world that a love that shows there is a difference between right and wrong. We can show our world what it means to live and see God in us. So if you're not active in a Bible study, let me challenge you to be involved in a Bible study. And I know people have told me, well, Ed, I can study God's Word on my own, and I really know a lot about the Bible, so I don't need a Bible study to be in. And my response is, well, good, because then maybe you can come, because maybe somebody else in that study could use your tremendous wisdom and knowledge, and maybe you can help someone else as they grow in their relationship with the Lord again, as we do this stuff together, as we grow together. I love you enough to do my part to help you to grow in Christ. Do you love me enough to do your part to help me grow in Christ? Do you love each other enough to help each other to grow in Christ? Do we love each other that much? See, there's a lot of things in life that bring me joy. Football season just started. That brings me joy. It's fall. That means it's hunting season. That brings me joy. A steak. Medium. Some of you like it rare. I don't understand that. With a baked potato, butter, cheese, bacon. Brings me joy. A lot of things that bring me joy. There are a few things. This is sincere. There are a few things that bring me as much joy as watching someone grow in a relationship with Christ. I love to see God working in people's lives. I love to see them grow and serve and minister. My wife will attest to this. I'll come home sometimes and I'll just be beaming and I'll say, man, I just had a conversation with so-and-so and watching them grow, seeing what God's doing in their life. It is so exciting to see where they've come from and where they are. That brings me so much joy. I love watching God work. And the world sees people committed, not just going through the motions, but committed. And they see example of people walking with Christ. And this passage ends and it talks about the fruit of righteousness. We've read this earlier from Galatians: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Our world needs to see this. This is what a life committed to Jesus looks like. This is what a church full of those people who are committed to Jesus looks like as they impact their world. So as we look at who we are as a church, who we are as individuals, as we study through Philippians, we have to ask ourselves, what does God have for us? Are you thankful that you get to be a part of God's church? Are you thankful for that? Are you thankful for those that you get to worship with? Do you truly love for, care for, encourage one another? Are you committed to growing in your relationship with the Lord and committed to studying God's Word on your own so that you can help the church be who God has called it to be? Are you a participant? Are you participating in the ministry that God would have for you? as we continue to study through Philippians over the next several weeks, we're going to see this challenge of what this looks like for us individually and for a church. What is God saying to you? Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you can't participate because you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've been in church your whole life, but you've never come to a point where you have committed your life to follow Jesus. Let me invite you this morning to say that I want to be a participant. I want to begin that good work that you have for me and know what it means to follow Jesus. Maybe this morning you need to come and visit with me or visit with somebody and say, I want to know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you're some part on this pilgrimage. You might be gung-ho, all involved, and that is fantastic. And then what are you doing to help other people to come alongside you and encourage them? Maybe you're here and maybe you used to be a strong participant, but maybe you've drifted away and you're saying, God, I need to get back. I need to be back where you want me to be. I need to be back involved. Maybe you're someplace else, but wherever you are, whatever God is doing in your heart, in your life, this is an opportunity to respond. Not respond to me, not respond to anything I said, but I really believe that when God's word is open, that God speaks. And if God is speaking to your heart, listen to what he's saying to you. Respond to him and follow him. The most important thing you can do today is leave here knowing that you have done business with God and you're where God would have you to be.